Welcome to the Retzel Health Law Hotspot. Health Law Hotspot is a podcast for physicians and health professionals that covers the legal issues and trends that affect the healthcare industry.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Health Law Hotspot. I'm Erica Adler, shareholder and leader of the healthcare practice at Retzel and Andrus. Today, I'm joined by Elisa Taub, who's a partner at Siskin and Susser, where she practices in the area of physician and nurse immigration. And Elisa's been a great resource when it comes to physician immigration issues. And today, we're going to be talking about some of the green card backups that physicians are experiencing and what everybody needs to understand about what's been going on and kind of what the new status quo is. So Elisa, tell us a little bit about what you're seeing.
Sure. Thanks, Erica. And I'm happy to be back on the podcast. So just by way of background, when it comes to green cards, the U.S. Congress long ago instituted a system that limits the number of green cards that can be issued in any given federal fiscal year. And that fiscal year starts every year, October 1st, and runs through September 30th. And so they limited the number of green cards overall. And then there are multiple categories, both family-based green card categories, employment-based green card categories. And they've taken that limit and they've prorated it, allocated it amongst each of those categories. And then on top of those hard number limits, they also have said that people from no country can account for more than 7% of the green cards that are issued in any given category. So it's a really complicated set of calculations that goes into determining the number of green cards that are available at any given time in any given fiscal year and to whom and in what category. But really, this is all a function of supply and demand, right? The government is limiting the supply of green cards, and every single fiscal year over the last maybe 5 to 10 fiscal years, at least, we have seen an increase in demand. For many years, and I would say since I became an immigration lawyer, which was back in 2007, on the employment side of green card issuance, we've primarily seen long-term backlogs for people who were born in India or people who were born in China. And the reason that those two countries are backlogged is because of that 7% limit. And the categories that they're backlogged in are for people who either have a bachelor's or higher level degree, or for jobs or people who have a higher level degree, right? So we're talking about two countries with large populations who are very highly educated. And that's why we've been seeing backlogs for those two countries in particular for many, many years now. What's happened over the last maybe 18 months or so, and certainly since December of 2022, is we've started to see backlogs in these same categories for everybody, not just for folks from India or China. The first backlogs that we saw started in 2022, as I mentioned, and a lot of times what happens during the course of a fiscal year is the backlog will kind of ebb and flow. The U.S. State Department manages the backlog through a publication that comes out monthly called the Visa Bulletin. And so they'll set cutoff dates that say, if somebody filed or initiated their case before X date, their case is ready to be approved, right? And so we monitor that monthly and we see how the dates ebb and flow over the course of a fiscal year. But as you can imagine, as cases get approved, fewer and fewer green cards are available as we progress through the fiscal year. So if the year starts in October, by May or June or July, we're starting to get to the point where there aren't enough green cards available to meet the demand. So what typically happens is when the October visa bulletin comes out in September, that's the most optimistic visa bulletin of the fiscal year. All of the green cards for that year are on the table for issuance. And so the government usually moves the numbers way far ahead and says, here's our optimistic view of everything that we can approve in this year. Hopefully we'll get through as many cases as we can in October. And maybe they leave it that way, November, December, January, and then things start to pull back. This year, that didn't happen. And that's what caused a bunch of immigration lawyers in September and October to sort of kind of freak out a little bit. The October visa bulletin was nearly identical to the September one. So the end of the fiscal year and the beginning of the fiscal year were looking like the same supply and demand scenario, which was a little bit odd, right? And we were like, what's going on? Well, it seems like what happened is that the government took the first quarter of the fiscal year. They measured what was going on in terms of how many cases they approved versus how many cases are available, how many visas are available, and what their pending inventory is. And they kind of held everything in check until they got a handle on what those numbers looked like. And then in January, we saw things take a decent jump in most categories. There was a big, you know, there was some movement forward. But now for February, that movement has stalled again, and we see that things are largely staying the same, or maybe a category will move forward by like 2 weeks. And so I think what the important thing for folks to know is, you know, without getting too far into the numbers themselves, because like I said, I'm a lawyer and I don't really do this complicated math. I rely on the government to do that for me. But I think the important thing for folks to know who are not from India or China is that now these green card backlogs really are affecting everybody, regardless of the country in which you were born. And while it might not necessarily have a huge practical effect on you in the long run, it also might mean that in certain categories, it's going to take much longer to receive a green card than maybe you thought it would in the beginning. We're also seeing some, hold that thought for a second. You know, whereas somebody who was not from India or China, conceivably from start to finish, we might go through a green card process and get through that in like 2 years. Now it's probably going to take more like three. So the backlog combined with some slower processing at the Department of Labor, which has a big hand to play in a lot of green card applications, those two things combined are probably going to lead to longer processing of green cards for everybody, not just those from India or China. So I think it's just important for doctors to know about this, because as they're making plans for the future, maybe thinking about future job changes, location changes, things like that, when they're going to get their green card might be a huge factor or a relevant factor in making those decisions for the future. So they definitely want to look into how these backlogs might affect them.
So they might, you know, if they're talking with their employer about sponsoring them or something, might start that process right away rather than waiting to kind of coordinate on a timing basis.
Exactly. I have some clients that used to have like a 6 month wait period when somebody would start work, you know, before they'd start green card processing. They've shortened that to 90 days now. So basically, you know, a physician onboards, they get settled, things are working out. You can kind of tell there's like a 3 month probationary period, and then we usually get started. Not every employer has the same policy with that. And employers can certainly set whatever policy they want, because when they sponsor a green card, they're probably paying for most of it or all of it. And so they're incentivized to make sure that it's the right call. But yes, starting early is going to become ever more important for two reasons. One reason, because we're seeing some processing delays, especially at the Labor Department, but also the earlier the process is initiated, the earlier the individual's priority date, where they stand in that queue, in that backlog. So conceivably on the back end, the earlier their case gets approved.
Right. So do you anticipate, and it sounds like this, in addition to it taking longer, it doesn't sound like they're increasing the number of green cards available. So we've got, you know, slower processing time. We've got delays, and then we've got a fixed number that doesn't show signs of increasing despite overwhelming demand. So it looks like it's going to get harder and harder. Has there been any hint that they're going to increase that to, you know, to satisfy demand?
So you would think so. but for many, many years, as advocates have pressed Congress for immigration reform, this is part of the immigration reform that's been sought. And there have been some really awesome bills that have come before Congress over the last 10 to 15 years. In fact, there's one right now called the Healthcare Workforce Resilience Act that's pending in this Congress and was also pending in the last Congress that would recapture unused green cards from past years where the government was just inefficient and didn't issue all the green cards that were available. And it would recapture those and distribute them to nurses and doctors in particular. And that would have a huge effect. In fact, we think it could almost wipe out the backlog for doctors if they were to pass that. And it actually has huge bipartisan support. There are a lot of members of Congress on both sides of the aisle that have signed on to co-sponsor that bill. The problem is, and the way it's been explained to me, is that as a standalone bill, that's not going to pass by itself, right? It's got to be something that gets wrapped up in a bigger package. Now, of course, there is immigration reform sort of being talked about right now in Congress with regard to the southern border. And there are some other potential employment-based immigration bits that would be wrapped into that. The Healthcare Workforce Resilience Act, to my knowledge, isn't one of them, but there could be some reform as sort of in this negotiation over the border. There could be some employment-based reform that comes out of that. You know, how that sausage gets made and where that ends up, we don't know. But Congress has been very loath to raise any of the caps on immigration, even these legal immigration pathways, for a long time. They always talk about, you know, visa neutral, you know, trying to have the numbers stay the same. The only way really to get rid of this backlog is for Congress to raise the cap on green cards. I mean, there's just really, you know, otherwise you're just rearranging the chairs on the deck of the Titanic, right? You're taking the same green card and you're just reallocating them to other people in a different way, which doesn't really solve the problem.
Right. Are we seeing demand from other countries that hadn't really been looking to come to the U.S. now, which is part of, you know, what the high demand is?
I think it's just an overall demand. I mean, no other countries other than India and China on the employment side have these backlogs. Of course, when we look at the family side, right, like Mexico is a huge user and they have a backlog on the family side that's country specific. But on the employment side, I think the reason why we don't see other countries ending up with these backlogs is because their populations overall are smaller than India and China's populations. And so the number of people who are immigrating to the United States from those countries is necessarily smaller. But my clients, in fact, we were just talking about this over the weekend, my clients are probably like 50 to 60% Indian, probably about 60% Indian, and then maybe 40% everywhere else in the world. The physicians who immigrate to the United States come from almost every corner of the globe. It's just that, you know, maybe we're not getting as many doctors from Peru, right? Or Spain, or, you know, some countries that just don't have huge numbers of people immigrating in this particular field.
Oh, that makes sense. All right. So is there anything else that we need to know about what's going on right now with green cards? Any last piece of advice?
I think just to make sure if you're going through the process now, you know, ping your immigration lawyer periodically just to get an update. They might tell you, look, you've got a long way to go and there are some unexpected delays. And that's legit. In most cases, there are these unexpected delays that crop up. And the visa bulletin is something that you can Google. It looks like a complicated set of charts, but if you kind of start to read through it and you start to understand what those charts say, it's something that you can even monitor the backlog on a monthly basis yourself and kind of know what your priority date is, look at where you are on that chart and kind of get an idea of where things might be going. So that would be my two biggest tips for keeping up with this.
All right. Well, that is great information. And of course, we'll have your contact information when we post this. I get requests all the time for people to answer immigration questions and to assist. I would say, you know, most of the doctors, especially young ones coming out of training that I'm reviewing contracts for, are foreign physicians as well. So definitely this is a really, really important topic for so many. All right. So thank you, Elisa Taub, for being here today. And hopefully we'll see you again. Keep us updated. If you want to come back and tell us what's going on, that would be great. And I'm Erica Adler. This is the Health Law Hotspot. You can see more of our podcasts if you go to ralaw.com. Thanks for joining us.
The Retzel Health Law Hotspot is made available by the firm and its attorneys for educational purposes and to provide general information, not to provide specific legal advice. Use of the Wetzel Health Law Hotspot does not create an attorney-client relationship between you and the firm or any of its attorneys. The Wetzel Health Law Hotspot should not be used as a substitute for competent legal advice, and you should contact an attorney in your state about any legal needs or questions you may have.